Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Control Print Limited, hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, et cetera, whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhatelia from Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rutuja. A very warm afternoon and welcome all to the Control Print Limited first quarter FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Rahul Kirti, CFO. I shall now hand over the call to Rahul for his opening remarks, post which we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Rahul.
Thank you, Karan. Welcome everyone to the first quarter FY23 earnings conference call of Control Print. We appreciate your taking out time from your busy schedule to attend the call. Hope you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, joins me on this call. The detailed presentation has already been put up on our website as well as the information through the stock exchanges. Let me give a brief analysis of the financials of Q1 FY22-23. The manufacturing activities in Q1 maintained the upswing from Q4, and most of the industries continued their production to meet the higher demand. The increased production was clearly visible in the higher requirement for consumables, which is beneficial to the coding and marking industry. The last couple of years have been extraordinary situation when the strength of the company is tested, and we can assure you that Control Print is geared up for any challenge. We are financially stable and robust and will continue to perform in spite of unforeseen challenges. This stability of Control Print has also been reaffirmed by credit rating agency CRISIL with an A rating after considering the short and medium-term impact of the COVID pandemic. Our investors can maintain their belief on the company's management for an optimistic future. This quarter's performance was normalized as the previous two Q1 were marred by COVID. We delivered growth in revenue and margins and also volume growth. These are encouraging signs as Q1 leads the way for the year, and this momentum should continue in the coming quarter. Revenue for the quarter witnessed year-on-year growth of 21.75%. The reason for growth in revenue was due to good traction in consumables as the industrial production increased, though we believe it is still not at the optimum level and there is scope of improvement. The production of some of the industries was lower due to raw material shortages, so there is still scope of growth in the overall production volumes. The gross margin improved due to better product mix skewed towards consumables. Profit before exceptional item increased 66% year-on-year and remains strong at 21.5%. EBITDA increased 50% year-on-year and improved to 27.2% and continues to remain above 24%. PAT increased by 34% year-on-year. The company maintains healthy margins with profit before exceptional items at 21.5% and EBITDA at 27.2%, with scope of improvement due to higher revenues triggering economies of scale. Let me brief you on the performance of various divisions, products, and business segments. Consumables had a good traction, and the increased installed base will drive the business in the coming quarter. The company continues to penetrate competitor accounts in key sectors like building materials, FMCG, pharma, dairy, etc. to strengthen its market share. The company intends to expand its global footprint and has formed a holding company in Netherlands to acquire 75% stake in Markprint BV. The SCP division witnessed year-on-year growth of 30% as the production of the customers was increasing. The growth was mainly due to improved production of some of the industries where we have a stronghold, like dairy, healthcare, steel and metal, food, FMCG, pipes, cable and wire, distillery, agrochemicals. And was also encouraging to see growth in some of the upcoming sectors like pharma, paint, wood. Product verticals of TIJ, TTO, Hi-Rise continue to deliver strong numbers, and these products are penetrating the market. We have dedicated managers and teams to drive these verticals with focus on dairy, beverages, bakery, frozen foods, ready-to-eat, pharma, packaging, plywood, lubricant, coating, carton coating. These new products continue to grow every quarter, which builds confidence on the potential of these products in the coming years. Laser business is growing steadily as product technology has been improved and a new team is driving the business. This has yielded good dividends with positive response from customers and new opportunities being captured. Service revenue has shown good numbers which contributes towards profitability. Our strategy for separate verticals for key account and OEM business for focused approach is giving us positive results and contributing towards growth. LCP business reported good growth for the quarter with revival in some cement accounts and pan-India supplies in the sugar industry. With new government directive regarding marking and coding in agrochemicals and healthcare, plastic bags and waste management, we expect some good contribution to our business growth. Customers, especially large business organizations, are looking for coding and marking solutions so as to avoid counterfeit of their products. We are offering complete solution including availability of our in-house software development team to provide tailor-made solutions as per our customers' expectations. To intensify our reach to the customers, we have strengthened our inside sales team for telecalling the customers to generate good quality leads. This is helping the field sales force to improve their strike rate for order conversion. The company has strong cash flow and the trend is expected to continue. Fundamentally and inherently, the company remains strong and we are focused on our plan and strategy as we are confident of the growth potential to deliver positive results. The floor is now open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Madhuchanda Dey from MC Pro. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on good set of numbers. I have just a couple of questions. The first is, what is the total import content in the raw materials? And to what extent do you think that the current depreciation will impact your margin? And the second question is more housekeeping. Just wanted a breakup of the revenue for the quarter between, you know, printer sales, consumables, etc. And how many printers did you actually sell in the quarter? The CIJ and the new lines of printers, if you can throw some light on the same.
I'll start with the import. It's generally between 25% to 30%. Sometimes now with the shortage of the electronic components and price increases, that could vary by a couple of percent, but generally it's in the range of 25% to 30% of our requirement. Though we still have a lot of import substitutes and we can procure them from India, but at times there are shortages and quality issues. So considering that, we still maintain a 25% on the import front. Regarding the breakup of the revenue for this quarter, the printers were between 18%-19%. The consumables was around 56%-57%. The spares and service was around 22%-23%, and the balance was on the mask division. The latter part of your question was how many printers that we sold in the quarter. So this quarter we had a sale of 750, just a little above that. There were about 750 printers for this quarter that we managed to sell.
And if you could give us the breakup between your CIJ and the new lines of printers.
So generally, CIJ is still the dominating sale. It's generally between 65%-70%. The complete breakup, we don't put it up in public domain because it's not available for our competitors also.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Badjatya from Honesty and Integrity Invest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for providing the opportunity. So on the this, you know, if I compare FY22 total numbers versus FY20 numbers, so sales of services has gone up significantly, 50% growth in sales in these 2 years. That is outpacing our total revenue growth. So can you please explain what is happening here and why these services revenues are going up significantly?
Can you just tell me which year you're comparing?
So I'm talking about FY20 numbers, pre-COVID basically. FY20 represent most of the pre-COVID sales, right? So if the sale of services I see in the annual report is 22 crores there, versus in FY22, it has increased to 33.4 crores. So nearly 50% growth there in the matter of 2 years.
Some of it could be because of regrouping. Earlier, some of our rental revenues were reflected probably in service, and then with this Ind AS coming in, the auditors preferred to show it as part of revenue. That is one of the reasons, and the other is genuinely our installed base has increased, so the service revenue and the spares have also gone up. So it's a mix of these two items.
Got it. And secondly, similarly on the imported sales of, you know, if I see the sales of traded consumables, that has also gone up in the same period, FY20 to FY22 in 2 years time frame. So what can you help us understand the reasons for the same? I mean, is it some specific
thing? No, volume as the installed base is increasing, so we have some of these specialized inks which we need to import, and that could be the reason for that increase of traded, as well as one of our printers, TTO, some portion of it is also imported. So volumes of that increasing will also lead to traded items increasing, though we do a lot of activities in-house after the printer has come in. But some of it does get reported as traded. But that's only those volumes, if you're comparing it to 20, the volumes have gone up by at least 30%, if I can say, over the.
So this import is, this ink, imported ink that is coming there, it's used in which kind of printers?
It was used mostly in CIJ printers, but for specialized applications. Some of our customers need high-grade ink, or they have special environments to work in, let's say a high temperature or a very low temperature. They need special bonding requirements, or there could be a UV print requirement. So there are very special requirements for which the customer is willing to spend that extra money, is which we need to sometimes import. The volumes not being too big, it's not feasible to at times manufacture in-house.
Got it. Got it. And lastly,
having a unique application.
And lastly, if I, you know, broadly compare the consumable sales, right, the total consumable sales of the company, so this more representative of what's happening on the IIP front and what's happening in the broader economy, right? So the GDP number and IIP is, you know, barely back to pre-COVID level, but our sales in these 2 years have grown tremendously. I mean, nearly, it's gone up nearly 30%, I think 30-35% in these 2 years, from FY20, 21 and then 22. So is it to do more with the pricing because of inflationary environment, or the volumes have significantly, or has also significantly gone up? And if yes, then which, what could be the drivers of these higher volumes, because that is not getting reflected into the broader GDP numbers?
Yeah, IIT has definitely increased from pre-COVID, and like we had mentioned in the previous calls also, even during pre-COVID time, our printer sales were always on a very high, and in fact, those years we maintained probably the highest printer sales, which we said is encouraging, because once the printer is sold, the consumable will follow as soon as the productions are normalized. And that's what we're able to probably see now. That's one of the reasons is the higher installed base compared to 2 years ago. And also we have said that, you know, some of the industries which we believe we have a stronghold, still there is a gap, and once their production increases, our volume should further go up. So we still hold that. We still don't think that the production of our customers is at an optimum. We still feel there is a 10 or 15% gap where the same printers can give us higher consumables. That's the field report we get from our sales team across Pan India. And so most of the growth, I'll be honest, is volume growth. Though we have gone for price increase, because a lot of costing for us has also gone up because of the input prices, but that would mostly be in the range of 5-6%. It's a highly competitive environment, and tough to get price increase from all customers, though we keep trying. But many of our customers have genuinely given us price increase in that range.
Okay.
Also, some of it, you know, freight increase and stuff like that. So, if I have to put a weightage, I would put most of it on volume increase, and maybe 10-15% because of price and freight and other stuff.
Okay, got it. And lastly, on this, you know, acquisition that we are doing.
Let's see couple of questions. Maybe you can come back to the queue, because.
Sure, not a problem. I will come back.
The question you started will come up in somebody else.
Sure, no problem. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipin Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations for good set of numbers. So firstly, wanted to understand, so the sharp improvement in gross margins and EBITDA margins, so understandably, so consumable share has gone up. So are we seeing this quarterly run rate of printer volumes is similar, or it has come down during the current quarter?
So basically, printers are at a similar level, around 17-20% is generally every quarter we have percentage. This quarter, the reason for gross margin improvement and EBITDA improvement, like we mentioned, is that a higher percentage of consumables have gone in. So in the previous couple of years, we've had a consumers between 50 to 52%, which I said that should improve, and this quarter it has gone up to 56-57%. So that is one of the major reasons for a better, and like you all know that the mask division is definitely going to be little lower than it has been previously during the COVID wave. So I guess the coding and marking is making up for the loss of mask revenue, which we saw was very strong in the previous year.
Okay. And is there any change in government regulations for any particular sectors which can favorably increase our this coding and marking consumption?
Yes, we did. Maybe Shiva, if you can answer that, that would be better. Shiva, you're there?
So, back into this thing, you see, it's very difficult to predict what the government will do, and also in a lot of cases, you know, how much lobbying is resulted in by the affected industry and then what the final outcome is. But in general, the government has increased the amount of rules, especially around pharmaceutical, to ensure more traceability through the supply chain. So that's what we expect. You might have seen there was some one or two articles that came out, I think, with the top 300 medicines of the country. They will ask them to print a variable QR code, for which they need, you know, someone like our printers, you know, and use that to print through the supply chain. But of course, that's what they're proposing, but it's not happened as yet. So, you know, so there could be more rules and regulations coming in general, as regulations have increased over time, you know, they've not decreased. In between, there was also a new legal metrology requirement, which I believe was that, you know, they have to print the price per 100 grams or the price per gram, something of that sort. So again, if they have to do something like that, especially if the price fluctuates, then they'll have to use our printer on that product. So, you know, there are some things that are there, but it's not 100% confirmed. So there's always a lot of talk about, you know, new, the government always proposes a lot of stuff, but then, because of course each industry has its own, you know, reasons why they find it difficult to adopt, you know, their own, you know, rationale to the government of why they shouldn't be subject to strong rules. And in general, I would say that the amount of regulation is probably sufficient, but it's definitely going to increase on the pharmaceutical side. We've seen on the liquor side also, it has increased, and the amount of it has increased as a result.
Shiva, if this regulation becomes mandatory, so are we foreseeing some of new printer sales also for the existing pharma companies, or it's only the consumption which will go up if this becomes mandatory?
No, for printing variable QR codes, definitely the type of equipment that's necessary is more expensive. So the people have to upgrade the entire set of lines, I think. And if you see a lot of the high volume medicines actually have barely any printing on them. You know, so if you look at Crocin or something like that, they have the V code, or they don't even have an actual inkjet print. They are in fact coming from no coding to, like, you know, fully variable, you know, printing. So, but the thing is, you know, it's, I mean, when the regulation is enforced, we should think about that. You know, like right now, it's, I think eventually it will happen, but, you know, eventually can be like now in the next 6 months, or it will be like 5 years from now. But I think the regulation should happen, and some companies will start preparing in advance, start equipping their new lines in advance of that, so that they are prepared for the new regulations at the time that they happen. I hope that answers your question.
Mr. Dipin Shankar, does it answer your question? As there is no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Nimish Shah from MK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. Can you share what will be the current printer installed use for us now?
So you're not very audible. Can you speak a little louder?
Hello. Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. I just wanted to know what will be the current printer installed base.
The installed base of printers, we crossed 15,000 in the previous year, and this time we've done about 750 odd printers in Q1. So we would definitely be more than 15,500 after considering some of the lost printers.
Okay, got it. On a steady state basis, if you could just help us understand what is the average realization for our consumables per printer, or if there is some number on that, if you can help us with.
Generally, clock between 1 to 1.1 lakh per printer, but you know now it's from now the mix is changing. Between different printers, the consumption is generally higher in CIJ printers as compared to a TIJ or TTO. So the average compared to previous years is little lower, but still 1.1 lakhs is what we're trying to clock.
Okay. And so this lack of realization should ideally increase by the increased production basically for the industries, right?
Yes, as the production of the customers increases, definitely it will go up. Moderator, I think Mr. Shiva Kabra has dropped out. He just sent us a message. So can you just check that?
Let me just check, sir. Give me a moment.
By the time we'll continue with the call. So, as the production of our customers increases, now if they go from a single to a double shift or a double shift to a triple, the same printer is going to give us higher revenues of consumables, and that's what increases the average.
Right.
But it's completely dependent on their production planning. It's not something that we can control.
Right. And do we have some similar number for spares as well? What will be the realization for the printer for spares?
So spares, like there are more than 400 parts on a single printer with different SKUs that we have, so that can range from a 100 rupees to maybe a 50,000 rupees. So that's difficult to say.
Okay, understood. If you could just throw some color on the acquisition front.
Could you repeat that?
On the acquisition that we made in Netherlands.
Is better if he can take that question. Shiva, you're there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
So I just got talked off the call temporarily, but I'm back.
Recent acquisition.
On Markprint, right? As you know, we are in coding and marking our industry, which is sort of the intersection of the digital printing and packaging, like at a very small level. Which is just for the very basic requirements, which is date code, batch code, expiry dates, statutory information, I'll say, and certain minimum amounts of information for printing, say on your cable, wire, and so on. What's happening is a lot of customers do want to print more information, and we've discussed that before. So a lot of people say want to print ingredients on the production line. A lot of people might want to print the entire blister or mono carton on the production line. So they want to personalize more and have a lot more flexibility. So Markprint already makes equipment which is capable of doing this type of work. We do also, but our technical level of our printers is significantly less than that of Markprint, and so is the cost point. So their equipment can be used for to actually almost eliminate the some of the pre-printing that's there in the package, and basically personalize the packages to a much higher extent. So that's what their business is about, and our primary method or reason for the purchase is so that we can acquire this technology and use it to boost the top end of our range in India. It is going to take time for us to obviously employ it in the market and get the benefits out of it, but this will help us grow our sales in the Indian market. But at the same time, Markprint itself is doing very well. And they have also doubled in the last 2 or 3 years. And I can see that pace continuing. So I think that they themselves will be growing in the European markets, especially in Scandinavia, Germany and North America, I mean, America and Canada. And, you know, that's something that we will help them help support their growth by investing in, you know, them to expand in those geographies. So I'm really expecting that it's going to be a dual-powered acquisition for us in terms of Markprint itself being doing very well and continuing that growth rate, hopefully even faster, you know, and that will for much bigger ways in coming times. And for us to benefit and to be able to extend our product range and to be able to cater to, you know, much more sophisticated and complex requirements of our customers in our markets. So, it's a bit of a strategic acquisition, is what I'd say. You know, not like a simple market share gain or anything of that sort. It's more for technology piece that we need to acquire.
Yeah, got that. Basically this sophisticated print, basically the high-end printer, so we would be looking to gain the technical know-how and manufacture it in our India plant or just import those printers from market?
So right now we're just importing a couple of things, but we're already going to start localizing them. We'll have to change it because, I mean, obviously his structure is using his components, his everything, his, you know, whatever. So we have to see how we can localize it, but also reduce the cost, you know, to some extent significantly, for which we'll have to work quite significantly. So the idea would be to use the same configuration he has and manufacture in India and maybe even take a cut in the upfront margin on the printers to help grow the market out here. But at the same time, we have to work on actually lowering the cost base of those printers because the Indian market is very different from the, you know, Benelux, Germany, Scandinavian, Northern European, Canadian, whatever market that you have. And that's something, you know, we'll be working upon. So we already have some of the equipment on the way out here. And I think we have some information that exchange is going on, so we'll be working on it. And of course, it depends on, you know, at the end of the day, I do want to point out, which is not very obvious from my statement so far, that it depends really on the application that we're talking about. And because so, we can do a lot of types of printing. We can print a lot of different things, you know, a lot of different packages, a lot of different items. But it depends on what the specific application that we're targeting in India and what we feel will succeed in the Indian market. So accordingly, we'll focus on those specific items and try to come out with an aggressive solution for those specific areas that we are targeting. Whereas maybe for, you know, things that we feel are one-offs or something, we can still, you know, just import it and cater to them. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead. Mr. Kashyap Zaveri, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, I have only one question. You know, when we look at some of the more industrialized or manufacturing-focused countries, you know, versus let's say an installed base for us, which is about 15,000 odd, and at industry level maybe about 40,000-45,000 kind of a number. What's the, you know, sort of max possible domestic market maximum possible to do? Is there any benchmark as to, you know, for a particular amount of manufacturing GDP, these are, you know, as many number of printers which are needed eventually, and that's going to be the size of the domestic market?
Yeah, so if I can answer that question, I think what we've seen is definitely as the GDP grows, GDP per capita, because of increased automation requirements, and also because of the prevalence of organized packaging, and even the substitution of a lot of other types of methods, even in the industrial side, the number of printers per person definitely increases, and the resultant consumables and so on. So it is there, but it is on a declining curve. It's on a declining curve. So what happens is it increases faster, like I said in some previous calls, to about, say, $5,000 per capita. It's at a faster rate. And then beyond that, it starts increasing at a slower rate. So I think, and it's very difficult to compare, but if you look at a market like China, say their domestic market would be like at least 5-6x of ours, if not more. So in terms of the number of printers, the CIJ printer that they sell per year is more than 30,000, whereas we sell like in about 8,000 to 10,000. That's one type of printer. They also have like a bigger market for all the other types of printers, and because the base has been going at a at a large pace for years now, so as a result, so I think we have to look at it that India still, the Indian market will be like about 50. Say about $200 million, euros, or whatever you give it right now, and the worldwide market would be about 5 to 6 billion. So I think it's going to depend on India's share of the world GDP, and of course, as the GDP of the world grows, this market will continue growing. So it's difficult to say, but as long as and we saw that some person asked also, that IIT has not grown so much, but you have still grown. I think there was an earlier question. I apologize, I don't remember who asked it. And Rahul did say that we continue to sell printers, and that's also because there's a shift from, unorganized packaging to organized packaging. So for a lot of people, like I said, so whether it was edible oil, there was sugar, there was salt, there was wheat, there was rice, even milk, a lot of things are not packaged in India, or the percentage of packaging was quite less. And now a lot of those products are being packaged. So that's causing a secondary increase in sales. And then as people get into convenience, people are starting to buy like 20 kilo bags of rice, start wanting to buy 1 or 2 kilos at a time, rather than opening a 20 kilo bag and then pouring it in a huge jar and so on. And that's what we'll see more pre-cooked stuff, more varieties, and that will increase the amount of packaging. Maybe not very good from a sustainability viewpoint, but that's what we've seen elsewhere in the world. So even if you look at bottled water, people used to only use it when you were traveling or certain very small things before. Now even if someone comes to office for a meeting, which might be the same as all of you, we have like those little bottles all over the place. So that's increasing the consumption also. So all these factors are also driving the market. It's not just a pure GDP growth thing. But it's related because as GDP growth per capita increases, all of these other factors continue to increase.
Right. And one more question I want to ask over here. You mentioned that installed base today, at the end of FY22 was about 15,000 printers. That amounts to almost about 140,000 rupees a printer per annum of consumables and services based on the annual report data which is already available. That number, if I go back about 4-5 years ago, was roughly about 160 or 155,000 rupees a printer. So what has changed between then and now, that this consumable per printer of installed base and services and spares also is not growing at all, or rather it's probably declining. Are these numbers correct? Because I've taken it from your annual report. And point number two, if that's the case, then...
these things. I'll answer those questions. So right. The first thing is, of course, we had a very large cement business previously. And as cement has a lot of production prior. And then we had a lot of issues with piracy in that market. And even till date, the customers that are there have a lot of issues in terms of the quality of printing, because they frankly don't care about that, which actually affects our business a lot, because the moment a person doesn't care whether he's meeting statutory requirements or not, then, the scope for control print and domino and video jet decreases,
because then you're willing to take anyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that cement business declined quite sharply. You know, Rahul will give you the numbers right after this. And that sort of affected the per printer business quite a lot, because the cement business definitely used to have like in excess of about 300,000 rupees, you know, 3 lakh rupees per printer per year in terms of consumption of
paint. Okay.
And the second factor is that, you know, our product mix is continuously evolving. You know, so we sell, for example, a lot of thermal inkjets, a lot of other stuff. So we also print a lot, for example, on the cartons now. So, you know, you were printing, say, on, I don't know, some sort of like antiquity, whiskey or something. And now there's 24 or bottles packed in a carton. So we also print on the carton. That's also a printer for us. And we, like Rahul said, we don't give the exact breakups because of different reasons. But there has been a huge increase in secondary packaging, and the packaging, there may be some people used to print offline, you know, at a fast pace, and now they shift to their printers online. So they're using more printers as a result, but their overall production per printer has decreased. And so those factors are also affecting the overall consumption per printer. And so, you know, it could be that according to me, this figure might slightly continue decreasing, but, you know, what will matter is that whether the overall trajectory is increasing or not, and at what pace, because it depends so much on what mix of printers we sell. So, for example, tomorrow we sell some printers in view of which the technology comes from Markprint. The consumption per printer of those would be very high, you know, talking about like in the 10 to 30 lakhs per annum per printer range. So, again, that could skew the figures the other way. So, it's very difficult to, without the granularity, which I realize we don't provide to you at that level, you know, it's very difficult to take a very broad prediction and look at it. So it's not a very relevant piece of information, is what I would say, to look at the number of printers and the total base, you know, because till you don't know what mix of printers is being sold, it's, you only need to understand how that business is performing. That's my own personal viewpoint.
Sure.
Yeah. Rahul, you want to add anything on any of those points?
So that's fine. I think you've already explained.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Bajaj from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. I'm fairly new to this company. So just excuse me in terms of the granular details of the company. I just wanted to understand, so one of the previous participants said that the growth or the volume in our business will be dependent on our customers growing in their respective segments. So can I get like an overview of the kind of mix we have in terms of customers, like industry-wise? Like I know that we are in FMCG, Alcobev, Pharma, textiles, but like just a brief breakup of it, and in which respective segment do we respective segment or industry are we seeing a higher growth?
So basically we are mostly skewed towards the industrial side, since we were a late entrant compared to our competitors. So for control print, about 60% of our revenues were mostly on the industrial side and about 40% on the packaging. That's the breakup we've been seeing. Now that is changing and maybe some more on the packaging side. So the industrial side is coming towards the 55% and the packaging is going up to 45%. Over the next few years, that's what we believe will happen because of the new printers that we are launching.
Okay. And we offer the printers as well as the consumables for the printers. So if a customer buys the printer, is the consumable to be bought only from control printers or
mostly we have RFID chips in our printers, and that's what the customer needs to purchase the consumables from us. Some people do try using spurious consumables if they manage to bypass some way the RFID software, then in that case we don't service the printers because, you know, the spurious ink actually spoils some of the parts, and the customers then have to get the servicing done from outside. So in many a cases we've found that where customers move out of Control Print, over a period of time their printer deteriorates and they have again come back and you know, started buying from us. So these are things which do happen in the industry, but apart from that, 85% of the industry is still organized. It's the 10-15% where you know, these spurious activities take place.
Okay, okay. And in terms of margin, how different would be the margin for a printer and a consumable?
So definitely printers are at rock bottom price. There's very little margin and it's a very competitive price market there. The reason being that the main high profitability is on the consumables, and that is what sells for multiple years after you've sold a printer. So one printer can give you, let's say, 5 to 7 years of consumable business, and which is high profit margin. So that's the reason why printers, at least in India, we found is at a very low price compared to our you know, other countries. And yes, the profitability mostly lies in the consumables.
Got it, got it. And just one last question. In terms of printers, what is the difference between a CIJ and a TIJ? What's the difference?
Difference between?
CIJ and TIJ, if I heard it right on the call.
So there are different varieties of printers. We have about 7 different types of printers. CIJ and TIJ are just 2 of out of the 7. And the different on different substrates. TIJ is more specific to certain applications, whereas CIJ is more general and can print across more industries and substrates. But maybe on the website you can get much more information once you scroll through.
Okay, sure, sure. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of E.P. Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations. Just a question on the acquisition that we did in Netherlands. If you can share the financial metrics, revenue, EBITDA or PAT for last financial year, what does it look like?
We had put that up on the stock exchange once we had given the
Okay.
thing. It's available there for the last 3 years.
Okay, okay. Sure, I'll take a look at that. My second question is just on the macro side, you know.
$1.5 million dollars in revenue and 150,000 in profit, I think. So you can, but Rahul will give that number if you just write into us. It's no problem.
Yeah, no problem. So my other question was on the macro side, you know, are you seeing an acceleration in the industrial activity or in the packaging activity? And therefore, you know, what is the prognosis? Because everybody seems to be talking about a slowdown which will also impact India. So I was just trying to understand from your vantage point what you're seeing.
I didn't hear the question clearly, Shiva. Can you please answer that?
No, I don't understand the question clearly also. If you could just repeat it once again.
Sure. So what I'm trying to understand is, see, you are very much plugged into the industrial side of the economy. So as you are out there at the ground level, are you seeing the industrial activity pick up, let's say, 1 month ago or 2 months ago? And are there certain pockets where it is going faster than the other pockets as you see it from the sale of your printers or from the increased use of consumables?
Yeah, so from the industrial side, we actually felt it was a bit slow, honestly, this Q1. It was slower than what we expected. But, you know, I mean, I'm not some, you know, we don't have like macroeconomic trends, but overall activity was a bit subdued.
Okay. And was it concentrated in a particular industry that you supplied to, or was it across all the segments that you
cater to?
I think like 2-3 segments, like the pipes, to a less extent, the steel, like, you know, I mean, so the construction material industry is still okay. I think the pipe especially was a bit weak, due to some extent the cable and wire. So, we'll have to break it down because the pipes that we print on are not used in agriculture so much. They're used more in, construction. And then, in the FMCG, it was okay. It was so, it wasn't like increasing really that much for print or the consumer's business. And it wasn't decreasing also. It was sort of flattish. So,
the overall, I think we believe that another 10-15% definitely the volumes can increase compared to the current level.
Over what period, this quarter or for the rest of this year?
No, going forward, I think things should increase more if the productions of the different industries increase.
Understood. Okay. Thank you. That's all I
have. Maybe there was... you know, maybe there's a sluggish, or maybe there's some de-stocking or other things. You know, sometimes it happens. So I guess, you know, we'll be more for, you know, a better product and probably figures for the next 3 quarters. That's what we're
waiting. Also, Shiva, on the raw material side, some industries were struggling. So we know that some printers were shut because their production lines were not operating because they could not manage their raw materials. So different reasons, have kept it low.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Dankar Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So any kind of a supply chain disruption we are anticipating in the coming quarters?
No, I think right now we are in a supply chain disruption and our end of production has been affected. I think I did based on the apologize in the Q4 conference call, you know, where I said we've been severely impacted. And you know, that's why our revenues are lower this quarter because we've not been able to sell, you know, many printers because we don't have the components. So I said that very clearly. So like we're purchasing from the spot market, whatever we have to fulfill our needs at a much higher price. It's affecting us almost to the tune of 30 to 40,000 rupees a printer. But even then, we can't make the printers because there's still some parts missing. So the, you know, the orders are to buy however it is, wherever it's available, however it's available. Once you authenticate validate the authenticity of the component. So that's the situation right now. And because of that, we've been able to produce the CIG printers during Q1. Except for some old boards, some old stuff that we've been scrounging around, and in fact we've been dipped into some of our spare stocks and stuff which we normally, you know, keep as a very big safety for the printers to manufacture certain printers. But now our production is starting of the new generation of printer, and hopefully we'll be able to get out of this situation and this quarter at a price because it's, you know, we're just buying stuff at a much higher price. So I think this is going to continue for the next 6 months is whatever we've seen. Anyways, we've created some stock at a pretty high price. So that's what the situation is. But we have no choice. So the semiconductor, I think the semiconductor market shortage is improving. We also see some other weird components of ours like rubbers or certain bags, like the lead times have increased tremendously. So there's the whole supply chain is a bit broken. It's not recovered, frankly, properly from the COVID time. And, you know, and definitely we're more than anything affected because we don't have the electronic components. We have to manufacture our PCBs, which the electronics, the drive electronics for our printers. So because we don't have, you know, like there's like literally like, I mean, 300 parts on a PCB. So if we miss one, we can't make it. You know, and we can't redesign it. And for every alternative component, we have to validate it. And then some of them require software deprograms. So this whole thing has become a disaster. But so basically, the only way out which we had was to purchase from the spot market at a very high price. And in some cases, we have redesigned. In some cases, we have used alternatives. But we're doing our best. I expect the situation to continue
to be difficult for at least 6 months.
Okay, okay. And sir, a lot of raw material costs are now correcting. So, current gross margins of 60%, can we say that will sustain going forward?
Again, like I don't know exactly on that, but what I would say is that this quarter, the printer revenue has been subdued. It would not add to our profit normally, but it would not reduce our profit. Normally, we sell them at a, you know, at a flat level, so then they don't cause a loss. Now they cause a profit. Although right now, maybe we're selling them at a bit of a loss going forward because, you know, our cost has increased because we had to purchase from the spot market. But, you know, so I think, like I said, the absolute numbers might matter a little bit more than these quarter-to-quarter comparisons, especially because there's been so much fluctuation going on. Like last year, the Q1 is affected because of COVID. This year, Q1 is affected because semiconductor shortages, you know. Something or the other seems to be going on, honestly, since like March 2020 or something. So it's very difficult to get a comparison. I think maybe last quarter was, you know, when Q4, maybe everything went quite smooth.
My question was more on the consumable side. If the raw materials for the consumables are correcting, then is there any scope for further improvement in our margins?
Hello?
Hello, am I audible?
I think currently some of the prices are on a higher side, but if global situation stabilizes, we do have a scope of improvement in some of the raw material or the consumables. So, definitely there is a chance that if things are better. This year we are not sure because things still, the market feedback that we are getting is that the prices will remain on the higher side. Maybe the next year, if it stabilizes, we have scope of better margins on that.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Beria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible right now?
Yes, Harsh.
Yeah, I noticed in the presentation that the field staff has reduced to 300 from 360 earlier. Is this reading right? Is there a reduction in the count of field staff?
Sorry, could you repeat? What has reduced?
Field staff, so the number of field staff deployed, I think it's reduced to 300 plus, and earlier in the presentations it was mentioned as 360. So has there been a reduction?
To be honest, I've still not understood. Could you speak a little louder?
He's saying, Rahul, that the field staff is reduced, although I don't get it.
Okay.
So some sort of breakup in the presentation where the field staff is 360 earlier, and now it's 300. But, you know, Harsh, I mean, I don't know offhand the numbers, but nothing has reduced because we're still, if anything, we would have.
Where are you getting the numbers from exactly?
It's from the presentation. Earlier it was mentioned as 360, now it's mentioned as 300 plus.
So this is like 300 plus, just from a presentation point of view. I guess they changed some presentation outlook, but they, like Mr. Shiva said, the field staff has not reduced, and we're looking to add a few more because the business seems to be growing quite strong. So, yeah, there is no reduction. It's probably just a presentation format.
Oh, perfect. Thanks for the clarification. My second question is about your track and trace services. How is this business structured, and what is the kind of software team that you need to provide this service?
You know, the track and trace, if you can explain. You know, the track and
trace. Sorry about that. I was on mute. Yeah, so I was on mute. So sorry about that. No, so Harsh, normally what happens, you see, we normally print like something simple on the products, like a date code, batch code, and so on. MRP, this is variable information. Now, in a track and trace system, it's an integrated system. So it's not just about us printing the standard information. Along with that, what we do is we have to generate a variable QR code. Now, for that, what we do is we have to download some data from the customer's ERP system. And at the same time, we add some, we have a software which then generates certain random numbers. There's a format provided by the GS1 organization, which is Global Standards 1, and they issue the standards for this as per the EN barcodes and so on. So we use that to print variable information on the products. And after that, so we use that to print variable information on the products. And then what we have to do is we'll upload it back from our printer and eliminate it in our printer because we can't store more than one code at a time. And then it goes back into the customer's business. But at the same time, we have to then scan the thing with our camera, scan the barcode, ensure that the print has been there. Then it gets validated as a spark of it's available and it has been printed. And then we have to eliminate it from our database. It goes somewhere in the cloud or wherever the customer wants it to be stored. And then when someone wants to, and at the same time, if some code is incorrect, we have a rejection mechanism which we have to build on the line so that without stopping its production, if the code, is not being read, then that product is removed from the production line, which of course can be challenging at a certain speed. And then all of that information is then connected. So when these same products are then packed in a secondary carton, in the secondary carton, the code of all the primary cartons is also included in that. So suppose I have, like, say, for example, 10 blisters, and I pack it in a blister pack in a little folding carton, then all the data of variable data of all those 10 blister packs, which is there in that secondary pack, will then, that data will be encoded, so it will come on the secondary pack. And when, say, 10 of those secondary packs goes in a tertiary pack, which is, say, a carton, which then gets shipped out to distributors, then on the tertiary pack, it contains the information of which 10 secondary packs are there and which 100, primary blister packs are out there. And each of them have a rejection mechanism. Everything is, then uploaded somewhere on the cloud or the customer's data. That's his choice how he wants to handle it. And sometimes some people use it for, where we help them. They might use it for validation with an SMS, the authenticity of the product. Or they might use it for their own internal staff to validate some product. Or they might use it also for some marketing reasons so that, they can use it to scan this code and, get 10 rupees off or something like that, get a 20% discount in the next purchase. So then what happens is basically that's sort of different from us providing a product because, and just printing out date codes and batch codes and, leaving because the amount of involvement of ours in the type of equipment we have to provide is much bigger. So it's much more challenging, and of course, it's a much higher revenue generator. There's a certain software component which you have to manage every year, so you charge some money for that.
Okay. This sounds like a slightly complicated service. So the revenues that comes from this segment could be categorized in the services segment in the revenue breakup.
What would you say?
The revenue that you will be generating from this track and trace would be categorized in the services segment, in the revenue segmentation segment of your annual report.
Yeah, so right now it's quite negligible overall because when we sell the equipment, it would come under sale of equipment or, consumer, depending on what category comes under. But the repeat service revenue, I think Rahul would be probably technically better to answer this question. But I'm guessing it would come under sale of services or something of that sort.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your question to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, with coming to this acquisition part, so this payment is made to the promoters, or there is a fresh capital has been raised in the company for growth of the same?
The initial payout will be to the current CEO there, who is the promoter, and he will continue in the company for the next 5 years. We have a management contract with him.
Okay. And the balance 25% is also held by him only?
Yes, just one more thing, Sakuji. Actually, the current CEO has a partner, a non-active partner, and they're purchasing that partner out entirely. And from the current CEO, we'll be purchasing a part of his shares, just so that it's clear.
No, the balance will be held, 25% balance shares will be held by whom, sir?
Yeah, balance will be held by the managing partner, and our share purchase agreement says that every year we will continue to buy 5% of his balance, and by the end of 5th year the control print will have 100% of the equity.
And about the valuation part, sir, at what value are we buying? Is there any clause of incremental valuation we are going to pay, or any other yardstick that will apply?
No, it is because as per RBI guidelines, it has to be valued every year as per the Category 1 merchant banker. So at that point of time, it will be revalued. So we have some indication on what the pricing will be.
Correct. And sir, this company was formed in 2015. So what is their current installed base? And the sole purpose is the technology part which we want to get enabled in our printers going forward. That is the main the factor behind it, sir. And what is their installed base as of now?
Shiva, can you take that?
Yeah, I think I sort of answered this question earlier, but if you can just repeat yourself, Sakiji.
Sir, yes, sir. I was looking for the installed base of printers for mass print. This company was formed, I think, in 2015. So this is only 7 years, 6 years old. So what is their current base, and the sole purpose for us is the technology transfer, and then post this 100% acquisition, do they have any technology partner for which we have to pay any royalty going forward?
No. So it's their own technology. I've explained it earlier, I think in the same phone call today. So our primary purpose is to acquire the technology for our own, for the top end of our range. Second thing, Markprint's own install base is about 300 printers, if I remember correctly, between 300 and 400. But if you want the exact number, I'll have to check. But it's between this number. It's about 300, if I remember correctly. And the third thing was, of course, we are also expecting Markprint to grow. So Markprint sales about 1.5 million euros approx, if I remember right. And we're expecting that to almost hit, say, to double also in the next 2 to 3 years, and continuing to grow at a faster rate because of our support to them, and and their own of course, the fact that they've got an existing base, they've proven their products, and this is the time for them also to be able to grow faster than before.
Sarkeji, their business model is slightly different. They also make a good amount of margins on the printers, apart from the consumables post sale. So it's not only on consumables that they make the margin; it's also on printer sales because the technology is very high end.
Okay, sir. Okay, because the installed base of 300 only, definitely you must have done your due diligence. But the base, installed base, that means they are very new to the market. If the understanding of 300 printers,
it's a dish product. It's not something that is sold like a PIN. Yeah, I said it's a high end niche product.
Yeah, so I think the cheapest printer would be like 16,000 euros discounted, like at the cheapest, like in the most entry level. So their average ticket size is much higher than ours. So you cannot compare the two, because, you know, if you're if I'm selling hatchbacks and I'm selling, you know, SUVs, and I'm selling something.
What should be their market share then, sir?
The what?
On a base of 300, and since in there the niche segment.
Yes.
What should be their current market share in the markets in which they operate?
I don't know the market share, because it's an undefined market. We are creating a new market in these segments, because people were.
Very few players
are doing business, so there's no market share in this. You know, there's it's almost like a new market.
Yeah, get it. Sir, 8% sir. When we look at the below line item, this time we find a negative line item of 8.66 crore equity investment through the OCI route. So, what is the current size of the book, sir? And how are we going to conclude this transaction, from the cash flow or any borrowing, or how is this going to conclude?
So we already have stable funds in liquid funds, which we have been generating. So it will completely be internal accrual.
Okay. And size of the book, sir, we have a negative line item of 8.66 crore in a quarter. June was a bad quarter for the capital
market. You know, the markets are very volatile right now. So yes, probably by September, you'll get to know, once it is out the balance sheet, then you'll get to know. Right now, it's not in public domain, sir.
Okay, sir. Sir, lastly, sir, point out here about the buyback part and a special dividend payout, which Shiva sir and Rahulji, you people were telling that board will take the decision at the appropriate time. So now with two acquisitions happening over a period of 1 year, another one being very small, innovative, and now with Markprint. So going forward, what's the thought process of the management in distributing the cash back to its investors, since I think so we are at the cusp or the inflection point, if my understanding of the total conversation and the numbers goes. So this should build on from this these numbers, since this is the first quarter only. So just a thought process of how things are looking up, and also on the utilization levels for the consumable part. I think so they were low, in the lower 40s for us. So how are they have they improved? That's
one. I just take your questions one at a time, if that's okay. Others are different too. Just getting back, of course, and I appreciate, of course, your coming into the AGM call, you know, and putting those questions there. You know, we definitely appreciate that, you know, shareholders are involved and actively, you know, obviously,
yes, thank you.
Ensuring that, you know, they're giving us suggestions to improve. So I want to just say, now our thing was quite clear, you know, which is that we had decided on approximately 50 crores of cash and 50 crores of bank in regards of any opportunities that come. It's not so much of an emergency, because in our business, you know, unless something really bad happens, because, you know, there's the repeat consumables business, we don't see any real, you know, liquidity issues. Of course, even something like COVID happened and that lockdown happened, so, you know, we can't say anything 100%, but it was more in case there's an opportunity to expand that comes. I will say again that, you know, we are in a space where we are, there is customer demands from us for more integrated solutions, which, you know, I think Harsh asked earlier something about, you know, the track and trace, and I try to get a basic idea of the system to him, and to the other investors. So, you know, but there are more requirements like this coming from customers. It's not only on track and trace. It could be for certain branding, it could be for certain anti-counterfeit, it could be certain other requirements. The second is, so, you know, we are obviously trying to gear ourselves to provide that. So it will be based around our printers, of course, but it could be a bigger solution, not just the printer itself. The second part is that we are looking at getting more into more sophisticated types of printers, which, you know, is something that where the Markprint acquisition was obviously one where we started. The ICIPL was a bit more optimistic, because it was the right person who we knew from the market. It was a brand extension. It's using like existing factories and facilities and technology.
So the cost involvement for us is very marginal. And, you know, what I think is sustainable packaging is another area that we would be interested in going forward. Certainly, these all seem to be good growth levers, you know, to be taking us in the coding and marketing business, which is anyways growing, and anyways we're fully focused on it, to the next level of growth as a company. But more than that, you know, getting back to your original, so, you know, these are the areas where we're focused on investing, and we're keeping some liquidity available for opportunities that come in these areas. The thing is, I think, and you know, the board has been clear, and, you know, I can say this on behalf of the board, that, you know, and we have provided dividends in the past, you know, but if the amount of cash that is available in our company goes beyond a certain point, then the board, and we don't find, our first priority is to invest in these growth areas and our existing business. Our existing business, as we've discussed before, doesn't need funds. You know, whatever the depreciation amounts are right now is more than enough to cover the CapEx requirement for at least the next 2-3 years. So it will not require any capital investment. That's the first point. The second point is that we will be looking out, because we are more interested in inorganic or bolt-on acquisitions rather than developing capabilities from scratch in our company for certain areas of these things. Digital printing, definitely we will be working on ourselves, but for other things we'll be very interested in strategic investments to increase our capabilities. And, you know, so that's one area where we are keeping this 50 crore, 60 crore cash and, you know, 50 crore, 60 crore bank limit available for. But whatever beyond that, we will, you know, provide back to the shareholders, you know, either in, whatever, you know, the board decides is tax efficient. And I cannot say there will be a buyback or a dividend or something. You know, that's the board's call. But we will not hold on to cash beyond that amount. There's nothing immediately visible on our plate. So, you know, I can give this assurance to all the investors that, you know, we're not just going to build up the cash balances endlessly if there's no reason to deploy them effectively. And we don't have a genuine solid outlet for that. So that's my, you know, I think you brought that up in the AGM. I don't know if that was answered very clearly, but it has been discussed at the board level before, and I can, you know, give this answer on behalf of that. Yeah.
Right, sir. And on the consumable side, any numbers you want to
give? Yeah.
Utilization for the
consumable. No, can you repeat that again, please, Sathya?
Yes, sir. The utilization levels of consumables for us, they were in the lower 40s, I think they were 40s or in the 50 bracket. So with now the installed base crossing 15,000 and what the first quarter numbers reflect about the percentage mix of revenue at 56 for consumables, how are the utilization levels looking currently, and what should they look like for the end of this year, sir?
So we're still in that 50 to 60% range packages. I don't think it will be very stressful in terms of capacity utilization.
Yeah, I think we should be okay till we hit about 300-350 crores, what this thing. At that point of time, we might have to increase our raw material storage facility in Guwahati. You know, that's also going to be it'll cost a few crores, but not like a huge investment. But so it's just a storage facility. We have enough production facility. We need to have more storage facility for the raw materials and the finished goods at that point of time. Or we will need to set up some more warehouses outside of Guwahati so that we can ship the finished goods out. But that could probably take in maybe another year and a half. During 12 months of 300 plus, you know, at that point of time, maybe we'll take that decision.
As of now, only from operation point of view, we can increase the shift a few hours to gain some extra capacity, so that will not be a bottleneck at this point of time.
And 300 top line should be our target for FY23, given what the sentiments are currently and the utilization levels at your customer base. We should look forward to scale our revenue, sir. I think that ballpark number should ideally be well baked into our numbers for this year.
Yeah, I think we are internally also we are targeting close to that number.
And all the best to the team, sir, for a very conclusive discussion over, and we look forward for further interaction with the team, sir. All the best. Namaskar.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Moderator, can we wrap up the call if there are no more questions? Hello, Karan, you're there?
Yes, I'm there. Rutuja, where are you?
Are there any other more questions available?
Yeah, we have two more questions.
Yeah, please.
Yes.
We can go with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would request you to please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Sampath from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Good afternoon. So just one question from my end. So you just mentioned on how the model is different for the company which is acquired, right? Versus what it is in India. So while that company makes money on printers, and that's not really the case over here. So just want to understand, how is it globally for the coding and marking business, especially in, you know, I mean, if there's some sense on developed and emerging markets both. And why is it so different over here? You know, because the sector is fairly consolidated, right? We have 80-85% share coming in from the top four guys. So is it the new challengers beyond the top four that is leading to this, or is it just, you know, the intensity between the top four players that is leading to us giving us, you know, printers at cost or something? And you think this is just a phase right now, you know, of giving away printers for essentially free, or you think it's a temporary phase?
Yeah, so just getting to your questions. I think that first of all, obviously the pricing discipline in Europe or the developed markets is much, much higher than in India. There's no doubt about that. So the way customers evaluate products is also very different. So in India, there's a direct cost comparison, you know. I can't explain it very simply, but you would just say that, you know, this costs 10 rupees per kilometer and that costs 8 rupees per kilometer, and then, you know, you get more into direct cost comparison of the machine versus the something. Abroad, people are very much concerned about the cost of labor. They're concerned about the cost of automation, they're concerned about the ease of use and the reliability factor, which helps us sell in India, and that's why the market is dominated by the four of us, it's because of the underlying concern of reliability. But abroad, they measure the cost of reliability also. So abroad, the person will say that if I go to some local guy or some Chinese guy or some, you know, whatever person whose support might be less, and I lose one day, say, extra production as a result, you know, what is the cost of my line being down for one day? And then that cost is, you know, normally 20 times higher than the printer cost, right? Because you lose production, you have employees out there who can't operate, you have all your other fixed expenses. But most importantly, if you need that capacity and you're not able to service your market, then that's also a massive issue. So because of that reason, the way people measure these things abroad is very different. In India, you know, people have a very shallow way of thinking at certain times, and I'm trying to put it as a bad way or a good way, but they will not look at it, these issues, you know. So it's a very cultural thing in terms of quality or certain things you have to look at, or branding. You cannot look at doing something and give it a short-term result. Right? This is something that you build up over a 10, 5, 10, 15, 20-year period. That's how you build your brand, your quality, your reputation, your service, and so on. So I think that's an issue that was there in India. So the easiest way for people to focus on expanding the market was to improve, was to, you know, to sell cheaper. You know, which is obviously a big
method of, you know, selling. So it's definitely a management fault that happened. It's also an industry-wide thing. So it's very difficult for one person to control it, you know, in the situation. Of course, it's stabilized in the last few years because, like you, I think Rahul has mentioned, we're all largely at cost. And that's the situation. Definitely, our view is that in newer printers, like in the Mark Print situation, and those types of printers, when we're selling them in India, you know, we are not going to sell them. We might not make the same types of margins as Mark Print, but as we go higher up the value chain, you know, there's no reason for us to discount the printers to the cost level, and we should make a certain amount of money on the printers. But in the existing printers which are already in the market, it's very difficult for us to change that situation. So that's where the story is right now. Of course, it's looking worse because, you know, since the COVID time, there have been some cost increases on us, whether the freight or shipping or, you know, just logistics disruptions. And now, you know, like this whole semiconductors, I mean, whatever, component issue, the electronic component issue that we're really suffering.
Sure, sir. No, I understand that, but I'm just trying to ask, is it possible that this can get more aggressive going ahead? Like, we may have to not even sell at cost, but just give them away free and hope for business coming in based on that? Or is that, or that is what
cut off there?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. I just got cut off, I believe.
No, sir, I was asking, you think, is it possible for this to get a bit more aggressive from the players in the sense of giving away printers, you know, at basically for free and then hoping for business to coming out as compared to just recovering the cost right now? Is that a direction the industry could possibly move in, or is that unlikely?
I don't think we have any intention of lowering prices. I mean, that's the control print viewpoint, but I don't know. I mean, obviously, whoever the challenger will be more aggressive, you know, and whoever the incumbent will be, is relatively not going to be as aggressive because, you know, we just need to. But in general, we have, you know, pretty much no intention of lowering printer prices further. If anything, we want to go the other way. Although it might be, you know, more focused on newer models where we increase prices there, rather than on existing models where we increase prices.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, and wishing the team all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question we have is from the line of Dharma Venkateshan from KB, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. You are able to hear me?
Yes, if you can just speak a little louder.
Okay, sir. Now, I have only one question. Regarding our equity investments, I know this has been raised many times in the past calls, and the response from the management was that it will be liquidated at an appropriate time. But if I see even in this year's annual report, we have even, like, instead of not liquidating, we have initiated newer positions in some scripts. So what is the rationale behind this, and how what is the way forward for this?
Yeah, I think I just answered this question quite extensively. It was raised by Saket Kapoor, if I remember correctly. And Saket ji had asked this question, and he had asked this question in the AGM also, and then the board was discussed. But like I said, you know, we are not, this is a, when we talk about a 50-60 crore amount, we're keeping it stacked, we're keeping it as a permanent amount, okay, for firepower in case we need it for anything. So in that case, we're not looking at, and we don't believe in our type of business, we need it as an emergency for our own requirements. For people who have some bank loans, Rahul will, you can give you some more details on that, or Jaiji. But the basic focus is that, you know, we need a certain amount, we're keeping that. Beyond that amount, like I said, we don't have a specific, you know, and a very clear idea of how to invest it. Our first focus is to reinvest into areas where we feel that we can contribute to, you know,
to the industry, to our country, and also make sure that it's a reasonably successful business. And I've outlined those areas very clearly, which is, into integrated solutions, not only track and trace, but similar. The second is, I said that we'll be focusing on digital printing and that area. And with Markprint, we made one acquisition out there. The third I said was that we will be focusing on sustainable packaging solutions, because we feel that that's something that the government needs to contribute to for our country to move forward, because this is a big area of concern, and it's something that we believe in. Again, we would like to integrate our printers as part of that solution. These are the three areas we're focusing on. Fourthly, I said that our existing business for the next 2 to 3 years would require marginal amounts of investment, and we should be able to cover the amounts of investment for the coding and marking business through the depreciation amounts, so net capex to be approximately zero. I did say that for the, we are of course investing in R&D, so that's an increased expense over the points of time, so that bill for us is continuously increasing. But, beyond that, I said that whatever amount we have beyond that, and it could change, I could always request the board for a higher amount if I feel I need to make bigger acquisitions. But the focus is more on acquiring technology, acquiring capabilities. And we don't want to shift our resources because, our focus, our knowledge is around printers. Even though we're in the packaging industry, we don't know how to make packaging machinery, for example. Our focus, we know how to make printers. We are going to obviously increase our capabilities of manufacturing digital printers in certain higher levels as per different requirements that we're targeting, but not so much, we don't want to get beyond our own core competency because it's very difficult. It takes a lot of time to acquire that experience, to make a very high quality, reliable product versus, a product that has all the technical specifications, but isn't that reliable on the line. And, we've made these types of mistakes in the past, and, I'm not going to do that. So once we invest in all these areas, I was clear that, I'd requested the board for an amount of 50 crores, which we've got in liquidity, and 50 crores as a bank limit. And beyond that amount, we will reward back to the shareholders. And like I said, because we were looking at this as a multi-year thing that we'll always keep this amount available, we might increase it, we might decrease it. And that's something I will discuss every year, depending on what I foresee as the requirements along with our team for whatever our, goals are for the next 1 to 2 years. And whatever's beyond that, I've been very clear that we will reward the shareholders give it back. Even if we reinvest it, it is a reward for the shareholders. It's coming more in the form of increased growth over a longer period of time. So, like I said, our first priority is to invest the money, in these allied areas of businesses which we want to grow. If we can find the right type of opportunity, if we are unable to do it and the cash balance increases, then we will be, giving it back to the shareholders in whichever form the board decides could be tax efficient, in that given situation. So that's the situation. Again, where it comes to equities or liquid funds or something else, of course, there's a difference in the rates between the two. We are looking at it as a continuous holding period over a 2-3 year period. A short fluctuation over a quarter or up or down honestly doesn't affect us so much. But, we have taken this note that, people are concerned about that, and that's something we need to internally discuss and get back to you guys on. But it's not something that we are investing or we're concerned about, quarterly fluctuations up or down. It's not that relevant to us because we're looking at more as a sort of something that we're keeping in reserve, because if we get an option to make a 100, 200 crore acquisition, we still have this money available to us. So I'm just going to explain it because I know this question has been raised many times and I've given a very long answer and I've answered this like 3 times, but I hope that it's very clear because I know this is an area of concern that a few people have raised, and I just wanted to address that.
Okay, sir. Just to add a point here, so like if we understand that the business has to reinvest, and like most of the investors are happy if the if the company is looking out for acquisitions, and if it's a big ticket acquisition, we need to keep cash on books, which is well and good. The concern from most of the investors is that it has been invested into equities instead of some fixed income instruments. That is the concern here. The concern is not the cash balance, it's that the cash balance is invested. So if the management, if the management can come out and provide more clarity on the way forward in the next meeting, or by the way of action saying that we will be investing in certain areas and we will not be investing in certain areas, it will be very clear to the minority investor shareholders. Because many are actually, like you said, many are actually concerned by this, with the way the capital are being allocated into equity investments.
So again, I'm going to answer this question, which I hope I just answered, but if you all understand exactly what I said we need a certain amount of cash, whether in the form of equities, in the form of funds, in the form of liquid funds, it to me doesn't matter. Like I said, the second thing is, the view is that these funds will always be there. So even if we spend it in a given quarter, we will then, you know, reduce maybe certain other ways, because they're generating cash continuously, so we'll always keep certain funds available for the business needs. So we are less concerned with a quarterly up or down. Obviously, there was maybe a view that there is a significant variation in what we are getting over equities, and you know, we've been investing or had some equity investments since at least 2005, since I joined. Again, it's not something I look at, but the overall rate of return since 2005 to 2022, when we've calculated, has been north of 15% post-tax, you know. So I'm talking about over a 15-year period, over taxes and dividends and, I mean, and appreciation and so on. Whereas, obviously, the liquid fund is slightly different. So I understand where investors are saying, you know, that it's your core competency in your business and so on. And we appreciate that. Kabraji and the board have taken that on note. And that's why I am being very clear about the limits of what we will be employing as cash in whichever form and keeping it, and what we will do with the amounts which are extra. So we're not planning to turn into an investment house. You know, we are, you know, a proper business. This is, you know, we do a very important service for what we believe for our customers, you know, for the wider, you know, consumer needs. And, you know, obviously that's where our focus is. And we have some areas of growth really outlined. I just want to be quite clear about that. So it's not like we're not taking this, and I understand this is a concern, but of course there could be multiple viewpoints, you know, which is the viewpoint of you know, Mr. Kabra and the board, like I said, was that this is the rate of return we're generating over a 15-17 year period, or whatever that 2005 to 2022 is, versus what we're getting in a liquid fund after tax is different. And if we don't need the money for something very immediate, so it could be that if there's something on the line, you know, which is what the viewpoint of Mr. Kabra was, that, you know, there's something on the line and I know I need this money in 6 months because you're working actively on something like, say, Markprint, then I will keep that money in the liquid fund. And for example, right now we have more than 20 crores in liquid fund because we know we have to pay out the dividend and the Markprint acquisition, and then we wouldn't invest that money in anything else. So that's what his viewpoint is. But I'm going to send this information back to the board, you know, again, and I will, I mean, of course, the next discussion probably happened in the September results now, but I will definitely, you know, I take this viewpoint and you know, I will pass this message on to them, you know. But again, I just want to, everyone to understand that, you know, Rahul and Jaideep and we, you know, we operationally run the company. We don't make all decisions. You know, my request was only to keep a certain amount of money available for strategic reasons that might come up, and that's what the board has done. And, you know, so that's more of the operations part of it. And, you know, so this is just what I wanted to convey to you all.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. We appreciate it. And congratulations on the good performance, and looking forward to another great set of numbers in the next quarter. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So, what capex are we looking
for 23-24 to say so, given the current rate of sale of printers and consumables?
Sorry, no, Karan, could you repeat? It wasn't clear.
You talk about CapEx.
Yes, we said the
CapEx will be approximately the same as you know, the net CapEx will be about marginal or zero. The net CapEx, you know. We always do some maintenance, we always keep improving. But right now, specifically, there's no new facilities needed in the next 1 or 2 years, I think, I believe.
Right. And is it correct to assume that all the price hikes have been taken to cover for the past the cost inflation? Or are we yet to see some more round of price increase?
So we're looking at further price increases. The thing is, Karan, we're switching to a new model of printer. So we have built the next price increase in the new model. But right now, honestly, we actually don't have printers. So we are like in a bit of a bad footing in front of our customers right now, because we are sort of quite behind a lot of printer orders. And we're juggling things from one place to the other to just, you know, meet the requirements. And we might even have lost some business because we've not been able to service customers who have very immediate requirements. So we are just trying to get out of this production issue right now. And then that's sort of maybe where a lot of the energy has gone right now for us. So, you know, maybe once we get out of this situation, we'll be able to take a better, you know, look at the next thing. But right now, the focus is just on getting our production back on track.
Right. Yes, any closing remarks you want to make? Thanks for the very detailed phone call, Rahul and Shiva.
Thanks, Karan. I just wanted to mention, you know, first, I think you all would have got the stock exchange notification that Rahul is leaving Control after a long time, you know, and for me, personally, it's been a real pleasure to work with him. And I think he's grown a lot. The company has grown a lot under him. And you know, most importantly, all the employees, the team, have really benefited from his presence. And, you know, I really wish him all the very best. And, you know, all my thanks to him, you know, for being such a great guy and a great friend throughout this period. We have hired Mr. Jaideep Barve as and Jaideep, you can say hi to everyone, please, and introduce yourself. And Jaideep will be taking over from Rahul from 1st August. And, you know, we are keen to have Jaideep on board. He has a lot of experience. And definitely, you all can interact with Jaideep also as previously did with Rahul at any given point of time. I know I'm manually available on the con calls every quarter, and I try to, you know, keep myself available for this in the AGM always for any questions that might come up. So, but you know, mainly I just wanted to thank Rahul for all his support, you know, all the stuff that he's done, and you know, for not only on my behalf, but you know, obviously personally, but for the entire company, I think especially his team, you know, everyone has really grown under his tutelage. So thanks, Rahul. And anything that you want to add to please say something, you know.
Yes, Rahul, anything from your end?
Sorry to interrupt. We didn't have Mr. Rahul connected.
Okay. Thanks, participants, for logging to the call. With this, we conclude the call.
I really appreciate the time taken by everyone. I actually thought Rahul was very good to say that. But thank you, everyone, for, you know, taking that much time. Today was a little bit of a long call, but you know, I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Shiva. Right, take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Take care. And now, stay safe. Bye.
On behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.